This is Ruth, Galatians 1:6-12. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval, or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Thus ends the reading. The last time I preached, I told you about the program of restorative justice we have in Wisconsin State Prisons. This time, I want to focus on one of the participants. He died recently, and I was privileged to attend his funeral. There were just a few of us gathered in the cemetery where we listened to one of Richard's favorite songs, Van Halen's Into the Mystic, and heard the chaplain talk about her last visit with him, where she did an anointing and gave him communion. He was a graduate of restorative justice and was surprised and overwhelmed when his classmates chose him as their graduation speaker. Richard was not brought up as a believer, but at the end of his life, he did believe. And so Paul's letter to the Galatians would have stunned him, as apparently it did Paul. I am astonished, says Paul to the community, that you are turning away from the gospel I proclaim to you, which was given to me by a revelation of Jesus Christ. By the end of his life, Richard had accepted the fact of his incarceration and that he had no family left in the world, which is why he died in the prison hospice, cared for at the end by other trained prisoners. Though he did not receive the gospel from Paul, he did believe and was known by others in the prison for his many kindnesses and his humility, and by those of us from outside the walls who need to tell his story. It may be apparent by now that Richard was not a Catholic. As I shook hands with him every week, I did wonder what he may have thought of me, a Dominican sister whom he only knew as Ms. Puchigian. He was a clerk in the chapel where we met. So after restorative justice ended, he would greet each of us by name whenever we arrived. I believe he would have welcomed the words of our brother, Timothy Radcliffe, OP, when he said, every Eucharist is the sacrament of our home in the Lord, and yet breaks down the little home that we have made. We must throw down the walls that we build to keep out strangers. This is the necessary paradox of being both Roman and Catholic, both a particular historical community in the sacrament of a community which transcends us and stretches out to embrace all of humanity. It is a tension that will mark every Eucharist until the kingdom, when the sacraments will cease and the church will be no more. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. As such, he resisted the tendency to say that Jesus' efforts were limited to the Jewish people, saying even that converts to the faith had to be circumcised. Even Peter had given in to this. Paul, on the other hand, understood what it meant to be a servant of Christ, even though he had earlier persecuted the ecclesia, the holy assembly. Going back to Richard for a moment, he was buried in a beautiful little cemetery way out in the country. The larger one in town was having a hard time selling lots because people did not want to be buried next to a prisoner, according to a man from the mortuary. The ironic thing is that Richard's last name was Love.